Got your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. We will be reading responsibly in verses 4 through 13 of Romans chapter number 10, 4 through 13. Beginning on verse 4, it says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this day, Lord. Father, I pray you should be the preacher, Lord, as you bring the message to us this morning, Lord. Father, I pray you just fill them with your power and spirit, Lord. I pray you should bless our hearts in the message, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here in Romans chapter 10 here in Romans chapter 10, part of this is a very familiar passage if you've been in church any time at all, but part of it is not. Now, if I could have your attention, I think I could teach you and help you today. Humans like to think of themselves as intelligent. We've gotten to a place, though, where we've made our intelligence a god in this world. Education has become a god. Now, let me say this. I've been involved in education for about 22, 23 years of my ministry. I understand something about education. I've done elementary level, high school level, college level, college administration. I've led three different schools, a couple different colleges that I've helped in. And I understand something about education. We think that someone who has multiple degrees hanging on the wall is smart. Well, I happen to know people that have more degrees than they have temperature. They're not as smart as they think they are. Just because you can go to college longer and just because you can pass a test doesn't mean you're smart. You see, we think because someone can use big words and has a diploma that they're deep. We think because some preacher can make a two-syllable or three-syllable word out of God that he's somehow more intelligent than the country preacher. Well, the country preacher might not have good grammar. He may have said we did or we have done when he should have done, but at least he did something. I know a lot of prissy britches preachers that they have good grammar, but they don't do anything. Man has perverted the word deep to mean complex. Deep does not mean complex. We use the word profound. We like to think that we're profound. Can I tell you something? Being profound is actually meaning being simple. Did you know that the wheel is quite simple, yet it's profound? Think of all the uses of a wheel. Think of how much labor is saved by a wheel. They call it a simple machine or a simple tool, and yet the profundity of it goes beyond what words can describe. You got here today because of a wheel. Matter of fact, you got here because of many wheels in your car, not just the four tires. There are wheels within the machine itself making your engine run. And on and on and on it goes. So, real profundity is actually simple. Man wants to sound smart. Man wants to sound intelligent. So he takes that which is simple and complicates it to confuse everybody, to make himself look like he understands more than they understand. We think we're more profound when we say things that are complex, when actually the opposite is true. Folks, if your house were on fire, someone came to your door and knocked on the door and said, "Folks, you are experiencing a chemical reaction that has vastly heated things to the point of combustion, and you are in need of oxygen." And they go through this long spiel. No, what are you going to do? Your house is on fire. Get out. Now, which one means more to you at that time? So many of us think because we can use long terminology and big words that we're more intelligent than the next. Now, hold on to your seats. Religion is man complicating what God says so that man now tells God how God must accept man. The word religion is never used in a positive way in Scripture. I'm not interested in religion. I'm interested in what God says.
That's right.
You see, religion thinks it's profound. God says it makes me sick. Folks, you can't get any more profound than "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." That's about as profound as you can get. Let me say it this way. When man thinks he can tell God how God must accept man in order for man to get to heaven, that's not only not profound, it's not a nice word, stupid. Religion is man-made. The Bible is God-made. Say that again. Religion is man-made. I don't care what name you put on the sign. There's only two kinds of religion in the world. You do it to get it, or it's been done. You receive it by grace through faith. That's it. Most religion is a man-made process of trying to earn or work our way to righteousness in heaven. Folks, can I tell you something? All of us are sinners. None of us are good enough to work our way there. We all deserve to die and go to hell. I had a preacher this morning, dear friend of mine in New Jersey, Brother Gelhaus, and he said, "Brother Bush, I'm praying for God to bless you and just in your church in such a special way today." And I said, "Brother, if God never blessed me or this church, I've already been blessed for two lifetimes, trust me." I said, "Now, I don't want him to stop blessing, but I have been blessed so far beyond what I deserve. I deserve to burn in hell like any other sinner." You see, why man has complicated what God said.
Yes, sir.
God did not complicate what God said.
Right.
Why would God want to complicate what he made available free to all men? He said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
That's good.
That's not real hard to understand. Brother Mike, you were talking in Sunday school about you were 27 years old, set a Budweiser beer can down as a drunk and a drug addict and got saved. Bless God, at 4.5 years old, I tugged on my Sunday school teacher's dress, a one-legged man who was literally a Vietnam vet with a pig leg, got his leg blown off at Vietnam with a landmine, and he was preaching at a primary church, and as a 4.5-year-old boy, I realized I was going to die and go to hell, and I tugged on my Sunday school teacher's dress, and when she pulled me aside, and we knelt down at the altar next to a little kindergartner-sized chair, and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, that was was 48 years ago, not 58, 48 years ago. 48 years ago, and I'm still saved. Brother Mike, I'm just as saved as you are. Say, I wasn't as bad a sinner. I was just as much a sinner as he was. Now, maybe his sin appears to you being worse than my sin. But guess what? It only takes one sin to take you to hell. Now listen to me. If God paid the price for all mankind, why would God make it hard for man to get this gift?
Good point.
If God wanted every person saved, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's not willing. The answer is, God didn't make it hard. Man has. Man has complicated it to make God accept man's way instead of man doing what God said. Matter of fact, in the book of Jude, it says, thou hast gone in the way of Cain. If you went back to the book of Genesis, when Cain killed Abel, or right before that, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground instead of a blood sacrifice. And God said, Cain, I don't have respect for that. That's not what I told you to do. That won't do. And Cain looked at God and said, God, too bad. Either take what I have or leave it. God said, Cain, I have an offering waiting. If you'll just open the door to jump into your arms. He said, God, I'll do it my way or no way. Accept what I did or don't accept me. And God said, I'll reject it. And I don't have respect for your sacrifice. And the Bible says we have gone in the way of Cain. Say, what is it? We're trying to tell God how God has to accept us. Man thinks that he's profound with all of his religious ways. I'm not cutting down anybody in particular, but hang on. I'm talking about popes, priests, sacraments, confessions, good works, rituals, countless other ways to merit salvation. Hail Marys, counting beads, praying through Mary. Everybody doing okay? We think baptisms, cathedrals, robes, statues, and stained glass are spirituality. Religion, all religion, is simply man trying to impress God enough to earn his own righteousness. Period. You don't impress God because you dress somebody up in mama's dress and call him father, put a $500,000 grapefruit on his head, and he sprinkles water everywhere and does smoke everywhere. That doesn't impress God. I hate to disappoint you. Well, I went to church and I confessed my sins to the priest. Can I tell you something? The other guy on the other side of the telephone booth was just as much a sinner as you are.
That's right.
Number one, he can't forgive your sins. Only God can forgive your sins. Number two, the guy on the other side of the booth was just as much a sinner as you are. And maybe more, because he thinks he is God. When the Pope gets up and says, I'm speaking ex cathedra in the place of God, he's lifting himself above where he should be.
That's right.
Folks, I have a hard time understanding why denominations have to have every 3 to 5 years councils to decide what they're going to believe. God's word hadn't changed. God was very capable of saying what he meant to say. I just happen to believe the words that God wrote are good enough. We don't need to rewrite them. We need to reread them.
That's good.
Isn't it amazing? They call fundamental preachers simple. But they're the ones that have to have an easier Bible to understand. Now listen to me. God says that salvation is quite simple. It's available to anyone who will receive it. Any person willing to admit that they're a sinner, that sin causes death, not just the body, but the soul and the spirit going to hell eternally, and that Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, was crucified and shed his blood for us and resurrected from the grave 3 days and three nights later, if we are willing to put our trust and faith in that to take us to heaven, God says he'll take us to heaven. My Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, it's simple, and yet it's profound. Brother Mike, did you know there's not one place in the Bible that says you have to believe with all your heart? Brother Harry, not one place in Scripture does that ever say, believe with all thine heart. Can I tell you something? I gotta preach it as it is. I'm getting ahead of myself. Hang on, man. I've been here since 5 minutes after five this morning, ready to fly. People have criticized me for decades for being preaching what they call easy believism. Well, I find no hard believism in there. What's easy? What's hard? If I can't get there on my own, I must trust what somebody else did for me. That's about as easy as it gets.
Yes, sir.
I'm not trying to complicate it. So you're just a simple person, that I am. You see, man wants to play God and say, did they mean it with all their heart? How do you barometer how much you mean something? I love my wife. But there's no way to measure that love. I love my daughter. There's no way to measure whether I love her more than she loves me. She'll often say, Daddy, you don't love me as much as I've loved you. I've loved you for my whole life. I said, I loved you before you were born. Can I tell you something? There's no barometer. There's no measuring tool for how much you can believe. Now, nowhere in Scripture does it say believe with all thine heart. It says we're to believe. Man wants to see a change in a life, to say they meant it. Jesus didn't. Do you know when Jesus was hanging on the cross, Brother Juan, on one side was a thief. Quite well illustrated. He's trying to steal my daughter away from me. On the other side was another thief. The Bible says that one thief said, Lord, would you remember me when you go into paradise, into heaven? And he said, believe on me and you will. And he said, I do. Can I tell you something? That fella didn't get down and get baptized. That guy died that day. He didn't join the church. He didn't live a good life. He was paying a... He was getting the death penalty for his crime.
Yes, sir.
The other one said, well, if you're the Son of God, get down off the cross and take us with you. One was willing to do it God's way. One wanted to do it his way. Guess who went to heaven that day? The one who believed. Was there a change in his life? Nope. There was a change in his eternity. He didn't live long enough to change his life. Everybody doing okay? You see, Jesus is the one that made it simple, not me. Now, let me give you three thoughts here and I'll be done. Number one, Jesus lived and took care of the righteousness debt for us. If you have your Bibles open to Romans chapter 10, I want to show you something here. I preached a whole sermon on just... about 2 or 3 months ago, along these lines. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse number 4. The Bible says, for Christ is the end of the law of righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Everybody look at me. There's no such thing as Old Testament law, New Testament grace. In the Old Testament, if the pulpit represents Jesus in Calvary, in the Old Testament, people got saved by looking ahead to what Jesus would do. In the New Testament, since Jesus came, we get saved looking back at what he did do.
That's right.
That's the only difference. That's why the temple was destroyed, because all the things about the temple were about what Jesus would do and fulfill the Levitical law and the priesthood and the high priest. That's why those were done away with. That's why Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, not his temple. Amen. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see, Jesus is the end of the law for righteousness, watch this, to everyone that believeth. That means this, Romans chapter 3, verse number 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Say, what does that mean? None of us are right all the time. None of us are sinless. Then you go to Romans chapter 10, the verse before what we read. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Look at verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that believeth. Come here, Brother Dorsey. You make such a good sinner. Here's a young man that's lost on his way to hell. He's trying to be a good person. He's trying to live a good life. He hadn't beaten his wife. He hadn't been mean to his mother-in-law yet. All those things. Can I tell you something? He's trying to do it on his own merit. Is he righteous enough to get to heaven? No, he's not, no matter how good he is. Well, he's a Bible college student. He's going to be a preacher. Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils in thy name, done many wonderful works? He said, depart from me, you cursed into everlasting darkness. I never knew you. They're religious. They're trying their own righteousness. Watch this. God says, going about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now watch this. The moment, watch this, you stay facing that way. Do what I say. Gotta teach him. The moment he realizes he can't get there on his own, and he realizes that he needs a Savior, he turns this way and trusts Jesus Christ as his Savior. The moment he does that, he has submitted himself to the righteousness of God. And according to the Bible, if you believe that, you're on your way to heaven. Thank you, Brother Dorsey. I'll use you again, so stay awake. Now watch this. Jesus is the end of the law for righteousness to those that believe. He's the only one that could fulfill all the law. We can't trust our own righteousness. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You are not good enough to get it because you're a sinner. Say, well, I don't mean to. Doesn't matter what your intent is, you still are. I still am. Now watch this. Man's religion is man's righteousness, but man's righteousness is tainted by sin. I don't care how good the Pope is, he's still a sinner and going to die. Look how many of them have been through there. Everybody doing okay? Say, aren't you afraid of lightning striking you? No. Jesus did away with the priesthood. That's why, folks, do you realize it was the religious crowd that had him crucified? It was the temple crowd that had him crucified. It was the high priests and the servants that came and got him in Gethsemane with swords and staves. It was the priests. Everybody doing okay? Man's religion is man's righteousness. Well, you say enough Hail Marys or pay enough money to the church and we'll light candles and pay money and get, you know, Junior out of purgatory. That's your righteousness. Religion is based on how good or how much good a person can do to merit salvation. That is personal righteousness. God says you're not saved by your righteousness because you have none because you're a sinner. You're going about to establish your own righteousness, but you only get saved by submitting yourself to the righteousness of God. Can I tell you what happens when a person gets saved? Come on back up here, Brother Dorsey. I told you I wasn't done with you yet. The moment he turns and trusts Christ as his Savior, God gives to you, in Romans chapter 6, it talks about he imputes the righteousness of Christ to your account.
Amen.
Not only are your sins forgiven, but God says, I'll take the righteousness of Jesus Christ, put it right there in Michael Dorsey's life, and he is as righteous as Jesus Christ. Brother Dorsey, you're as saved as Jesus. The moment you trust Christ as your Savior, you're just as sealed in heaven and saved as he is. Say why? Because it's not your righteousness, it's his. It's not a matter of your righteousness, it's a matter of his righteousness in you.
That's good.
Thank you, Brother Dorsey. Stay awake. We're going to do it again here. That's why man's religion is generally wrong. Number two, salvation is simply belief by faith. Belief by faith. Now listen to this very carefully. What does the word believe mean? The word believe means to entrust, to rely on, to commit to the charge or power of a higher authority. Belief is not an acknowledgement of a fact. Belief, okay, this one will really make you laugh. Belief is not the power of positive thinking. Folks, you can believe all you want that if I drop my keys, they're not going to hit the ground. Well, I believed that they weren't. Guess what? They still did. There's a higher power than my thinking, and it's called gravity. Gravity has more power than my thinking. Everybody doing okay? You drop an object, it's going to fall. It is a law of God. It is a law of nature. By the way, God created it. It's not Mother Nature, it's God. Now, hang in there for a second. Belief is knowing a fact and relying on it or trusting in the truth of it. It is an action word. It's not an ethereal word. Belief is more than saying, I recognize that that is a truth. It's relying on that truth. That's what belief is. Now, belief is not something that is just a truth. It is an action. Notice Romans chapter 10, verse number 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, watch this, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That word submit is virtually the same word as believe. It is an action word where you place yourself under the authority of another. Now, here's what I really want to teach for a moment. Belief and repentance go together and virtually are the same thing. I'm back up here. Good thing you got sleep last night. People will tell you that repentance means you have to turn from your sins. And not biblical. Brother Dorsey, he's been saved. Let me ask you a question. Have you sinned since you got saved? Yes, you have. A lot. Can I tell you something? You can't turn from all your sins. Because you are a sinner. But watch this. He goes this way, trying to establish his own righteousness. Realizes he can't. Realizes he needs a savior, or he's going to die and go to hell. So he turns to Christ and places his trust in Jesus Christ. What did he do? He turned around, didn't he? That is exactly what the word repent means. It's a military term. It means to turn 180 degrees backwards. He went from trusting his own righteousness to trusting the righteousness of Christ to get him to heaven.
The act of believing is the act of repentance. You go from trusting your own righteousness to get you to heaven to trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Have a seat. John chapter 3. The Bible says this. That whosoever shall call, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Didn't say whoever turns from their sin. Bible says he that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. In other words, it is the belief, not a turning from. Because the act of believing on the right thing is an action word, and it is literally the same as repentance. Now, it's just like in Numbers chapter 21. Don't take time to turn there. I got to tell you the story, and I'll hurry through this. In Numbers chapter 21, the Jews were in the wilderness for 40 years. They disobeyed God. They wouldn't go in and take Canaan land. 10 said that they shouldn't. 2 said that they should. So they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Or, as someone has once said, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because a Jew dropped a quarter in a gopher hole and it took them that long to find it. I don't know that that's true, but I do know this. I do know they were wandering for 40 years. They got complacent, and God sent fiery snakes or serpents to bite them, and it would kill them. They were venomous snakes. He was taking care of their complaining. And Moses said, look, the people are tired of dying. What could we do? And God had Moses make a serpent of brass, put it on a pole, put that pole up in the air. And the Bible says, and God told Moses that if someone were bitten by that serpent, all they had to do is look and see that serpent on the pole and they would live. Is all they had to do is look and live. By the way, do you know that we still use that symbol today? Follow any ambulance. Look at any medical symbol, and it is a serpent on a pole. It is a picture of healing by God himself. Now watch this. God said, look and live. John chapter 3, verse number 14 said, for as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That serpent on a pole was a picture of Jesus Christ hanging at Calvary. One was to keep you from dying physically. The other was to keep you from dying eternally and spiritually. Can I tell you something? Repentance cannot be turning from your sin, because you'll keep sinning after you get saved. Salvation is eternal. Number 3. Don't confuse growth with salvation. Don't confuse growth with salvation. Look at John chapter 3 for a moment. So many things Folks, if you knew how much I cut out of sermons, you'd be shocked. John chapter 3. There's a man named Nicodemus. He was a rich young ruler. He came to Jesus and he said, how can I know for sure that I have eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, you must be born again. He said, look, how can I be born again? Do I have to go back into my mama's womb and be born a second time? You ladies said, I'm saying, No, Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Now watch this. Did you know that when you were conceived, you had nothing to do with it? Nothing. Do you know that a child, when it's conceived, it grows for about 9 months before it's even born? Then it's got to grow for a while before it has any intelligence of any kind. You better keep growing.
Now, wait a minute. It takes years before a child really understands the difference between right and wrong. Let's say that whole process from conception to understanding right and wrong takes 6 years. Can I tell you something? If you're not careful, you'll judge that lady that said she's expecting, saying, well, you're really not going to have a baby. I don't see any evidence of it. Not yours to see. Everybody doing all right? You see, just because someone gets saved doesn't mean everything changes. It means everything has the ability to change. Heenies are not here this morning, but they have a special needs boy, Gus. Gus is my buddy. I love Gus. When the Heenies first came, Ashley wasn't saved, and Ashley got saved, and I said, look, you just keep bringing Gus. It's okay. Doctors told Joe and Ashley that Gus would never talk. Gus would never interact with people. Gus would never be able to communicate with any human. He would just be they wanted him aborted when he was in the womb. I said, don't you believe the doctors. I said, you just keep bringing him. Watch what Jesus can do to that boy. Well, Gus is going to be one of my church greeters one of these days. And you know anybody with autism, they're not real touchy kind of people, but I worked on Gus and worked on Gus and worked on Gus. And I remember the day that he came up the steps like this to me. I watched Ashley fall to her knees on the steps and the tears flow down her face. I said, you okay? She said, no, sir. You're the first human other than Joe and I he's ever done that to. I said, not too bad for a little boy that's not supposed to communicate, huh? Gus would come up and put his arms around me and tell me that he loves me. Say, why? Because I love him. Gus will sit in junior church, and he takes notes on Brother Lopez's sermons. He knows his sermons better than Brother Lopez does. Now, he can't get it all out here, but he got it up there. Trust me. I'll hear Joe or Ashley every once in a while say, not too bad for a little boy. He's not supposed to do nothing, huh? Say, what is that? That's God making a difference in somebody's life. Now, let me ask you a question. Just because Gus doesn't think like you think, just because Gus doesn't talk like you talk, does that mean he's not a human? Then why do you want to judge somebody's salvation based on what you see? Well, I don't see any evidence of it. You can't see spiritual things. You're not spiritual. Everybody doing okay? If a human doesn't grow right, that doesn't mean they're not human. Bob's brother, he's not here this morning, but he's deaf. That man by himself rolled this building 3 times in paint in 2 weeks. Burger, he's a different creature, but he's still human. I'd come over here and check on the work site, Brother Larry. The best he could communicate with me one day, we were standing right back over just outside the auditorium doors. And Berger smoked. And he looked at his cigarettes and he looked at me in his own deaf language, trying to communicate to the dumb. That's me. He was trying to tell me, I'm trying to give up my cigarettes. Asked me if I'd pray for him. I put my hands on his shoulder. I prayed for him right there. He couldn't hear me. He didn't close his eyes. He was watching my mouth. It's okay. Can I tell you something? He's given up his cigarettes. Just because he smoked doesn't make him a non-human. Just because he can't hear doesn't mean we ought to throw him away.
You're right.
then why do we want to take somebody that's supposed to be saved and we want to throw them out in the trash because they don't live the way we think they should live? That's wicked as the devil.
Yes, sir.
It's wicked. We have complicated Christianity. I can break it down into one word. Obey. If we would just obey the Bible, Christian life's pretty easy. Here's the problem. We're sinners. We don't lose our sinful nature, so we rebel at it. We think we can be God. That's what Satan tempted Adam and Eve with in Genesis chapter 3. Wouldn't you like to take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? In the day thou doest, thou shalt not die. For you could be as gods, knowing good and evil for yourself. Satan said, wouldn't you like to be like God? You wouldn't need God to tell you what you do. You could be your own God. By the way, that's what humanism is. Man wanting to be his own God. Can I tell you something? Man makes a pretty bad God. Shoot, people don't even know what bathroom to go into anymore and they want to play God. Folks, you walk out in the pasture, it doesn't take long to say, cow, 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 bull. It's real easy. I could clarify everything for all these people that don't know who they are, what they are, and if they are. I might be a simple country person, but can I tell you something? It's amazing that an animal's got more sense than supposed intelligent beings. Humans often live worse than animals, and we're supposed to be more intelligent. You don't see two bulls marching down together happy. They're not going to parade themselves. They're going to be fighting. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And they weren't confused about who they were or what they were. Please don't take this the wrong way. My five favorite words in English language are, thank God I'm a man. Man, these ladies having babies? Mm-mm. Kidney stones are bad enough. I ain't no way I'm going through no kid. Y'all crazy or what? And then you want to do it again. And again. And then when you can't have it anymore, you say, oh, I wish I could have more. No! Yeah, we have complicated the things where, you know, when you're born, your birth certificate doesn't say to be determined later. It really doesn't take a rocket science to figure out what you are. Plumbing tells it all. It's real simple. Kind of like the guy that he had a field of hundreds of cows, and they were bringing a new bull on the lot. And these two young bulls were sitting there, and the truck backs up and kicking and snorting and snot coming out of it, and they said, uh-oh, what's that? And the door kicked open, and that bull come running out, and he ran out to a bunch of cows and started doing what a bull does. All of a sudden, one of those little bulls started kicking the dirt and snorting and screaming a little bit. And his buddy says, what in the world are you doing? He said, I'm just letting him know I'm a bull. Can I tell you something? He understood the difference, amen? He said, well, you're making fun of people. No, I'm trying to show you how man's complicated things. It's real simple. It's just real simple. We think we're smart. Did you know 50 years ago they didn't have AIDS? Everybody doing okay? We've complicated things. If man would just live the way God intended us to live, we'd have it a whole lot better than we have it now. Going to heaven's easy. God didn't make it hard. If he wanted everybody to have it, why would he make it hard? You don't have to put on a bomb pack and go out and blow yourself up and blow up the infidels to achieve heaven. That's man's way, not God's way. Romans chapter 10, verses 6 through 8, God says, some people think that they're deep or they're high-minded because of this. And he said, no, it's simply by faith. Believe. Simply believe. You see, the deep things are not the types. Brass is a type of judgment. Gold is a type of royalty. This person's name means this. Did you know when your mama and daddy gave you your name, they didn't know what your life was going to be? Preaching on everybody's name and what it means doesn't do much. Preaching on types that God didn't say were types doesn't do much. Doesn't show that you know the Bible much at all. No. Speculating in the prophecy of what God didn't say, thinking you know what God did say or what God did mean, doesn't make you smart. No, but I can tell you what is profound. You knock on a door and somebody opens up the door. You talk to them for a moment and you say, do you know 100% for sure you're going to heaven when you die? Oh, you don't? Let me take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. Thank you. I look back here and see a tough old grizzled bear back here. Fred just kept saying, can't be that easy. Can't be that simple, preacher. Almost died 3 times. He was hours from death. And I said, Fred, if you don't get saved, you're going to bust hell wide open. He said, I'm just not ready. Oh, Lord. Finally, one day, sitting in his living room, he found out how easy it was to believe.
Praise God.
And did it. In a couple of weeks, I'll preach Trent's memorial service. About 6-8 weeks ago, Brother Barnes and I were out knocking on doors and went and saw Trent. He chased off a bunch of preachers. Loretta said, preacher, he might cuss you out. I said, it's all right. I've been cussed out before. Let us in. He sat at the table. Cancer had his belly distended like this. You could hear the cancer in his throat from his stomach. We talked to him for a while. I said, Trent, wouldn't you like to know for sure you're going to heaven someday? He said, I sure would. Whew. I opened up that very New Testament right there. Walked him through the scriptures. Sitting at his kitchen table with a half a cup of coffee. He bowed his head and trusted Jesus as a Savior. A few days later, he went into the hospice. He was in hospice for almost 2 weeks. And got out of hospice to come to our opening service. Walked through the back doors and sat right back over here. Came back a second week. Happy as could be. Called me his preacher. Everybody in the family going, couldn't believe it. Just a little over a week ago, we got the call. He's at hospice. Went there that night and he was dying. Knew it wouldn't be many hours or days. Christina was there. His son was there. Christina came out and said, preacher, buddy's not doing good and you need to talk to him. I said, I will. I said, I don't want to embarrass. She said, I'll go get him. You know Christina. Come on, buddy. She grabbed him and we went down the end of the hall, Brother Dorsey and I, and 27, 28-year-old young man, sat down at a couch and talked for a little while about heaven and death. I told him how his daddy had trusted Christ. I said, buddy, wouldn't you like to know for sure you're going to heaven to see your daddy again someday? Big old tears running down that young man's face. I mean, weeping. He said, you think I could? I said, I know you can. That young man bowed his head and trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior. Trent passed away. But he was in the room with him by himself when I got there. They said, "Oh, buddy's in there." I said, "It's okay. I just went busting through." Do you know he wasn't crying? I said, "Buddy, how come you're not crying?" He said, "It's okay, preacher. He's all better now. He's in heaven.
That's good.
And I'm going to get to see him again." Whew. I know you shouldn't have a party in somebody's room that just passed away, but I was about ready to. I was alone with Trent just a few hours before he died, early that morning. I leaned over and I said, "Trent, it's okay." I said, "It's time to go home." I said, "Buddy got saved." I said, "This person's doing okay. It's okay to go now." In just a few hours, he was in heaven. Say why? Because it's simple. It's simple. I could tell stories all day long like that. No, it's not complicated. Man complicates it. But I don't know anything more profound than knowing for sure you're going to heaven someday when you die. I don't know of anything sweeter. Say, is it baptism? Nope. Baptism's like my wedding band. I can be married and not wear my wedding ring. People know I'm married because I wear it. That's what baptism is. It's a picture that you've trusted Jesus Christ in the death and the burial and resurrection. It's just a picture. It's an act of obedience. You could join the church. Joining the church won't take anybody to heaven. If you were born in a garage, it doesn't make you a car. Being born in a church doesn't make you a Christian. I think you ought to join the church. I think you ought to get involved in church. If you've been saved and never baptized, I think you ought to obey God with your baptism. I think we all ought to get involved and tell others about him. Say why? Because it's so simple. Say why? Because we're not as smart as we think we are. We really aren't. We're not as smart as we think we are. See, Christ is the end of the law of righteousness. Say why? Because he knew we needed him to be. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Who would say, "Preacher, I'll be honest with you, if I die today, I am 100% sure. I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die." Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Amen. Thank you for that. I wonder, is there one that would say, "Preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure, but I'd like to know that someday." Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, "Preacher, somewhere inside that sermon, something I needed today personally. I needed that." Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, dozens and dozens and dozens of hands. If you've been saved and you've never been baptized, we can take care of it today. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion and like to join our church, we'd love to have you join our church. Maybe you just need to come in an old-fashioned altar and kneel at that altar and what the Lord spoke to you about today. How about you come?